January 8, 1840 sounds like cannonading, at Comerie, and a crackling sound in the air, according to some of the residents. Whether they were sounds of quakes or concussions that followed explosions, 247 occurrences, between October 3, 1839, and February 14, 1841, are listed in the Eden. New Phil. Jour, 32-107. It looks like bombardment, and like most persistent bombardment from somewhere and the frequent fall from the sky of the debris of explosions. February 18, 1841 a shock and a fall of discolored rain at Comerie, Eden. New Philosophy Jour, 35-148. See Roper's list of earthquakes year after year, and the continuance of this seeming bombardment in one small part of the sky of this earth, though I can find records only of dates and no details. However, I think I have found record of a fall from the sky of debris of an explosion, more substantial than finely powdered soot, at Crieff, which is several miles from Comerie. In the Amer. Jour. Sci. 2-28-275, Professor Shepherd tells a circumstantial story of an object that looked like a lump of slag, or cinders, reported to have fallen at Crieff. Scientists had refused to accept the story, upon the grounds that the substance was not of true meteoric material. Professor Shepherd went to Crieff and investigated. He gives his opinion that possibly the object did fall from the sky. The story that he tells is that, upon the night of April 23, 1855, a young woman, in the home of Sir William Murray, actor Lyre House, Crieff, saw, or thought she saw, a luminous object falling, and picked it up, dropping it, because it was hot, or because she thought it was hot. For a description, in a letter, presumably from Sir William Murray, or some member of his family, see Year Book of Facts, 1856-273. It is said that about 12 fragments of scorious matter, hot and emitting a sulfurous odor, had fallen. In Ponton's Earthquakes, p. 118, it is said that, upon the 8th of October, 1857, there had been, in Illinois, an earthquake, preceded by a luminous appearance, described by some as a meteor and by others as vivid flashes of lightning. Though felt in Illinois, the center of the disturbance was at St. Louis, M.O. One notes the misleading and the obscuring of such wording. In all contemporaneous accounts there is no such indefiniteness as one description by some and another notion by others. Something exploded terrifically in the sky, at St. Louis, and shook the ground severely or violently, at 4:20 a.m., October 8, 1857. According to Tim's Year Book of Facts, 1858-271, a blinding meteoric ball from the heavens was seen. A large and brilliant meteor shot across the heavens, St. Louis Intelligencer, October 8. Of course the supposed earthquake was concussion from an explosion in the sky, but our own interest is in a series that is similar to others that we have recorded. According to the New York Times, October 12, a slight shock was said to have been felt 4 hours before the great concussion, and another 3 days before. But see Milne's catalogue of destructive earthquakes, not a mention of anything that would lead one away from safe and standardized suppositions. See Bull. Sees. SOC. America, 3-68. Here the meteor is mentioned, but there is no mention of the preceding concussions. Time after time, in a period of about 3 days, concussions were felt in and around St. Louis. One of these concussions, with its sound like thunder or the roar of artillery, New York Times, October 8, was from an explosion in the sky. If the others were of the same origin, how could detonating meteors so repeat in one small local sky, and nowhere else, if this earth be a moving body? If it be said that only by coincidence did a meteor explode over a region where there had been other quakes, here is the question. How many times can we accept that explanation as to similar series? In the Proceedings of the Society for Psychical Research, 19-144, A correspondent writes that, in Herefordshire, September 24, 1854, upon a day that was perfectly still, sky cloudless, he had heard sounds like the discharges of heavy artillery, at intervals of about 2 minutes, continuing several hours. Again, the mystery of the local sky, if these sounds did come from the sky. We have no data for thinking that they did. In the London Times, November 9, 1858, a correspondent writes that, in Cardiganshire, Wales, he had, in the autumn of 1855, often heard sounds like the discharges of heavy artillery, two or three reports rapidly, and then an interval of perhaps 20 minutes, also with long intervals, sometimes of days and sometimes of weeks, continuing throughout the winter of 1855-56. Upon the 3rd of November, 1858, he had heard the sounds again, repeatedly, and louder than they had been 3 years before. In the Times, November 12, someone else says that, at Dalgelly, he, too, had heard the mysterious phenomenon, on the 3rd of November. Someone else that, upon October 13, he had heard the sounds at Swansea. The reports, as if of heavy artillery, came from the west, succeeding each other at apparently regular intervals, during the greater part of the afternoon of that day. My impression was that the sounds might have proceeded from practicing at Milford, but I ascertained, the following day, that there had been no firing of any kind there. Correspondent to the Times, November 20, that, with little doubt, the sounds were from artillery practice at Milford. He does not mention the investigation as to the sounds of October 13, but says that there had been cannon firing, upon November 3, at Milford. Times, December 1, that most of the sounds could be accounted for as sounds of blasting in quarries. Daily News, November 16, that similar sounds had been heard, in 1848, in New Zealand, and were results of volcanic action. Standard, November 16, that the mysterious noise must have been from Devonport, where a sunken rock had been blown up. So, with at least variety, these sounds were explained. But we learn that the series began before October 13. Upon the evening of September 28, in the Dartmoor district, at Crediton, a rumbling sound was heard. It was not supposed to be an earthquake, because no vibration of the ground was felt. It was thought that there had been an explosion of gunpowder. But there had been no such terrestrial explosion. About an hour later, another explosive sound was heard. It was like all the other sounds, and in one place was thought to be distant cannonading, terrestrial cannonading. Sequar. Jour. Geolog. SOC of London, Volume 15. Somewhere near Barisal, Bengal, were occurring just such sounds as the sounds of Cardiganshire, which were like the sounds of Melita. In the PROC. Asiatic SOC of Bengal, November, 1870, are published letters upon the Barisal guns. One writer says that the sounds were probably booming of the surf. Someone else points out that the sounds, usually described as explosive, were heard too far inland to be traced to such origin. A clear, calm day, in December, 1871, in Nature, 53-197, Mr. G. B. Scott writes that, in Bengal, he had heard a dull, muffled boom, as if of distant cannon single detonations, and then two or three in quicker succession. In the London Times, January 20, 1860, several correspondents write as to a sound resembling the discharge of a gun high in the air that was heard near Reading, Berkshire, England, January 17, 1860. See the Times, January 24. To say that a meteor had exploded would, at present, well enough account for this phenomenon. Sounds like those that were heard in Herefordshire, September 24, 1854, were heard later. In the English Mechanic, 100-279, it is said that, upon November 9, 1862, the Reverend T. Webb, the astronomer, of Hardwick, 15 miles west of Hereford, heard sounds that he attributed to gunfire at Milford Haven, about 85 miles from Hardwick. Upon August 1, 1865, Mr. Webb saw flashes upon the horizon at Hardwick and attributed them to gunfire at Tenby, upon occasion of a visit by Prince Arthur. Tenby, too, is about 85 miles from Hardwick. There were other phenomena in a region centering around Hereford and Worcester. Upon October 6, 1863, there was a disturbance that is now listed as an earthquake, but in the London newspapers so many reports upon this occurrence state that a great explosion had been thought to occur, and that the quake was supposed to be an earthquake of subterranean origin only after no terrestrial explosion could be heard of, that the phenomenon is of questionable origin. There was a similar concussion in about the same region, October 30, 1868. Again the shock was widely attributed to a great explosion, perhaps in London, and again was supposed to have been an earthquake when no terrestrial explosion could be heard of. Arcana of Science, 1829-196. That, near Mau, India, February 27, 1828, fell a stone perfectly similar to the stone that fell near Allahabad, in 1802, and a stone that fell near Muradabad, in 1808. These towns are in the northwestern provinces of India. I have looked at specimens of these stones, and in my view they are similar. They are of brownish rock, streaked and spotted with a darker brown. A stone that fell at Chandakopar, in the same general region, June 6, 1838, is like them. All are as much alike as erratics that, because they are alike, geologists ascribe to the same derivation, stationary relatively to the places in which they are found. It seems acceptable that, upon July 15 and 17, 1822, and then upon a later date, unknown seeds fell from the sky to this earth. If these seeds did come from some other world, there is another mystery as well as that of repetition in a local sky of this earth. How could a volume of seeds remain in one aggregation? How could the seeds be otherwise than scattered from Norway to Patagonia, if they met in space this earth, and if this earth be rushing through space at a rate of 19 miles a second? It may be that the seeds of 1822 fell again. According to Comte's Meteorology, p. 465, yellowish-brown corpuscles, some round, a few cylindrical, were found upon the ground, June 1830, near Gryazow, Silesia. Comte says that they were tubercles from roots of a well-known Silesian plant. Stalk of the plant dries up, heavy rain raises these tubercles to the ground. Persons of a low order of mentality think that the things had fallen from the sky. Upon the night of March 24 to 25, 1852, a great quantity of seeds did fall from the sky in Prussia, in Heinsberg, Erklands, and Juliers, according to M. Schwann, of the University of Liège, in a communication to the Belgian Academy of Science, La Belgique Horticole, 2-319.